today. Range looks forward to seeing their members during the 71st annual meeting of the members of Range Telephone Cooperative Incorporated on Tuesday, May 7th at the Best Western in Sheridan.
Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, a compassionate professional service for the Sheridan community. At Sheridan Funeral Home, we respect all faiths, creeds, and customs. We take great pride in our compassionate professional service. We promise to take care of you and your loved ones with respect and dignity, just as if we were taking care of our own. It is a privilege to be able to serve you when you need us. Visit SheridanFuneral.com, Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
I'm Steve Sisson, inviting you to Jackalopes Explore, the new video podcast from Sheridan Media. It's unlike anything else on your feed. Every week, the Jackalopes explore something, and it could be anything. Politics, UFO sightings, social issues, conspiracies, no matter what it is, we'll dig for the truth and explore it with a unique Wyoming perspective through an entertaining, lively conversation. Take a trip down the Jackalope hole with us every week. Jackalopes Explore, new episodes Wednesdays at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program. Brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. This morning, I'm afraid Dr. Bergman could not join us. He's stuck in Denver. Apparently one of the flights couldn't get in, but I was lucky enough to have Habitat for Humanity waiting for me upstairs. And so this morning I am joined by Habitat for Humanity Resource and Development Manager, Dan Alsop, and AmeriCorps Fire Team members, Amber Hay and Sarah Griggs. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Floyd.
Ladies, how are you this morning?
Good. Yeah, doing great.
Go ahead and pull those microphones right to the edge for me. Now, Dan, how have things been down at Habitat?
Wow, Floyd. Things are great. They are hopping down at Habitat. We've got 10 partner families we're working with. So we have 10 homes currently under construction right now. We've got a couple that are getting close to being done. We'll have some dedications coming up here pretty soon. And then we'll put our focus on our four twin homes in Ranchester. And we've kind of started. We've got two dried in, and we're going to try and get those done as fast as we can.
Is this the most homes that have been in the process of being built at one time for the Habitat here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, we're trying to increase our capacity to build homes. It was kind of a challenge from Habitat International. They wanted to challenge all the affiliates to kind of increase their capacity. As the housing supply is getting smaller, they've decided Habitat's going to become more of a leader in affordable homes.
And that's incredible because, you know, I often talk to my counterpart up here, Ron Richter, who has been reporting in this area for 20-some years. And one thing that he's said that he's reported on from day one is the housing crisis, attainable housing, as they like to call it. It's just tough to get around this area. Have you guys up at Habitat, because I know Christine Dietrich, your executive director, actually contributes to, is it a committee or a board for attainable housing?
Yeah, we did start just recently. We created the Housing Land Trust, which is a separate program for Habitat. For our Habitat, you know, it's under our kind of our umbrella, but it's run separately, and it has a kind of a different model than our Habitat program. But it's just getting off the ground, and it's a great partnership with the city and county, some ARPA funds, and it's the neat thing about it is it's not like it's something new. It's been done before.
Yeah,
it's been done with several other Habitats. Before. So the model's there and it works, and it just takes, you know, it takes time and to get started on it is, you know, like, I think somebody said once, we know what it's like to do nothing. So we're getting it rolling, and it's starting to get some legs on it. So
now, when it comes to Habitat's participation in that, what role does Habitat play in that? And I know I'm kind of catching you off guard.
No. I know just enough about it. We have a land trust administrator that we hired, Jamie Rivera, and so she's. And her and Christine are doing, you know, running the program, getting everything set up, all the infrastructure, and getting the first project underway. So it's just kind of, you know, we were already in the business of affordable or attainable housing. So
why reinvent the wheel, right?
Put it under our umbrella, and it's just a separate program from just another program of Habitat.
And what will that program eventually yield for people here in Sheridan? Is it going to be attainable housing built on land owned by a government or the committee or the trust?
Well, yeah. I wish Jamie was here. We'll have to get her on one of these
That'd
days.
That'd be fantastic.
And Christine.
Yeah.
But essentially, we own the land and lease it to the homeowners, and then the home is built. And then to keep the homes affordable, they appreciate at a set rate, a set percentage, so they remain affordable. So the homeowners can still, as they build equity and maybe get in a position to buy another home, can sell those homes and recoup that equity that they put into it. But then it's the resale value is capped, so it remains affordable. So another family can move in and be able to afford it. So it wouldn't appreciate rapidly.
So basically these are start-off homes for young families looking to kind of get into a home that's attainable. You live there maybe a decade, sell it, and then move kind of up into another home later on.
Exactly. That's the model. And like I said, it's been done in other communities, Denver, Bozeman, maybe Red Lodge, Teton County, I think, has an attainable housing. So,
wow.
So yeah, there's several models to look at that have been doing it for 20 years. So, you know, they know the ins and out, and they've been great resources.
Now, is this, and again, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, is this the only program that this committee or the Attainable Housing Board has really looked into?
All right, Floyd, you got me there.
Yeah,
you've run out of my knowledge.
No worries.
Yeah.
Hopefully, this is the one that really pays off, because it sounds like it's a pretty good idea. I know there are some individuals out there who don't like the idea of local governments getting involved in this in any way, but this is such a massive problem here that I think at some point someone had to step in and make these homes available, because we're losing our youth. You know, we don't have places for young families to start off here, and so they're not going to stay. They're moving outside of Sheridan, and God forbid, outside of the state even. And so I think this is a good program.
Exactly. Yeah, we're excited to get it launched and start and get running with it. So,
is there a date and that you may have heard somewhere in the office about? You know what? We're really going to start breaking ground around this time.
That I don't know. I think we could learn about that date when we schedule our next public polls.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
If you could bring them on, because
yeah.
I would love to ask them that. You know, a lot of individuals out there, because I know there's been a lot of meetings, a lot of conversations around this. A lot of other options were looked at. It's not like this is the only thing that they explored. This just seems to be the best option to get things going now.
Yeah. It's been going on for quite a while. So there's been a lot of planning and discussion to figure out the right model, and this is what they came up with. So.
Now, for those who don't know, when it comes to the 10 houses that are being constructed this year, those have already got partner families, don't they?
Exactly. Yes. We just, I think in February, we had 6 new partner families that we approved. We had a selection. So, and the really cool thing is they were all, I, I don't know if we talked about this last year, but we had our orientation partner meeting, and when we sat there and we were looking around the table, and they said, we're all going to be neighbors and kind of grow up together. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. A whole neighborhood of individuals who are kind of starting off in the same situation.
Yeah, they'll all be working on their own houses and their neighbors, their, you know, their new neighbors' houses, and
I think that's great. Now, they'll actually be helping to build each other's homes.
They will, and they've been working hard already. They're out all the time working on homes, working on some of the ones we're getting ready to wrap up, and then once and they've been out to Ranchester a few times, and yeah, they've been working hard.
Now, I will actually ask you questions about how folks can help out with that a little later in the show, because that is something that I want to do. You've got some other programs coming up. We'll touch on those as well. But ladies, I want to kind of switch over here to you just really fast and ask you what AmeriCorps is for those who may not know.
Yeah, so AmeriCorps is a government-funded program, and our mission is really to go into communities and just kind of help build up the community in different ways possible. So this is our third project, and in the past, we've done food insecurity. We're now doing habitat. We've done...
Yeah, we worked in a food bank. We worked at a farm. We've worked Habitat for Humanity. We're just kind of providing whatever support was requested from the community. So they'll reach out and they'll say, like, hey, we need this certain thing done. We just, like, could use that extra support? And if AmeriCorps has the people necessary, because we work in teams of 10, they'll send us out to that state and we'll kind of provide that work that they need until our next project.
Yeah, and we're a part of NCCC, which is the National Community Civilian Corps, and it's 18 to 26 year olds. And there's different programs. We're part of the traditional program, but there's also VISTA, State National, there's FEMA, there's all kinds of programs within AmeriCorps that you can apply for. And it really doesn't matter what age you are, there will be a program for you.
And I'll ask you some more questions on that. First, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
Excuse me. Have you ever heard of varicella?
Oh, varicella. Isn't that the horse that won the Kentucky Derby 3 years ago?
What's that? A cheese?
Varicella. Varicella, the lady with the glass slipper, right?
It's actually pronounced varicella, and it's a pasta dish.
Nearly every child used to get varicella, a.k.a. chickenpox. Remember it? Today's kids won't. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Brought to you by the Wyoming Department of Health, paid for with federal funds.
Wake up and smell the savings, beverage lovers, because at your locally owned McDonald's, they have your beverage cravings covered with any size coffee for $1. That's right. Whether you're a small, medium, or large kind of coffee lover, you can enjoy your favorite cup of joe without breaking the bank for a buck. But hold on to your straws. Quench your thirst any time of the day with any size soft drink for $1.29. McDonald's. Treat yourself to a siptastic experience. Sheridan, Buffalo, and Gillette.
This public service announcement sponsored by Pilch Engineering, providing environmental engineering services to Wyoming.
Hi, I'm Lydia.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Emmy.
We are proudly representing the Bighorn High School Theater Department.
Our team has the opportunity to travel to Indiana to compete at the National Thespian Festival in June, and we are seeking funding to help us get there.
If you are able to help, please send any donations to Bighorn High School.
If you have any questions, please call 674-8190.
Thank you so much for your consideration. We are looking forward to representing the Sheridan and Bighorn communities on the national stage.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning I'm speaking to Habitat for Humanity Resource and Development Manager Dan Alsop and AmeriCorps Fire Team members Amber Hay and Sarah Griggs. Now, we got to know just exactly what AmeriCorps is in the first segment, and I'll come back to those ladies in just a little bit. But first, there are some programs that we've talked about on this show previously that Habitat has going, and one of them was actually giving like a draw for a camper.
Yeah, it was a raffle for a 2022 Arctic Fox camper.
And how did that turn out?
That turned out great. We raised just short of $42,000 to help build those 10 homes we're working on right now. And we had our Restore customer and volunteer appreciation day on Saturday. We have that at the end of April every year. And that's when we did the drawing at high noon. And we had a winner. We had a winner.
Who was the big winner?
And the winner was Cheryl Schreibeis. And she was very excited.
I would be too. I can only imagine.
Yes.
So she's going to be doing some camping this summer.
She is. She's going to be doing lots of camping. So, she is. She is all set up now. So.
And $42,000. That's a considerable chunk of change, Dave.
Yeah, that's great. Every bit helps to help build these homes. So that was really nice.
Now, when it comes to the Restore, if when's the last time you walked around in there? I know the Restore isn't exactly your department or your wheelhouse, but have you taken a walk down there in a while?
Well, yeah, I kind of have to walk through it to get to my office. So shopping all the time as I go in and out. The Restore is doing great. It has been just super full these last month or so. It's just been stuffed full. And, and things come in and come out, the turnover is pretty good on the inventory there that we have in the showroom. We had the high school interior design class come out and do a project to help us, reorganize it a little bit and make it a little more efficient and create some more space and make it a little more inviting. And they were really great. Wow. So we've implemented that, and it's actually... it's kind of like the goldfish theory. We created all this space, and then it just all of a sudden filled up with furniture and construction materials and you name it. It's just been great, and they did a good job. They saw things that we don't see because we see it every day. So it was really cool.
That's something that I was talking to my wife about not very long ago. Having to get a new set of eyes on something. Sometimes you walk through your house and you just get used to seeing that pile of mail, and then all of a sudden your brain just no longer registers, that big pile of mail that's been stacking up in the corner that you've been telling yourself you're going to go through. And then one day you look at it and suddenly realize, wow, that's been there for a month or if not longer. And so you guys decided we're not going to have to pay these big designers. We've got them right here. We got a creative team right at the high school.
Yeah, it was great. We made a presentation for them, and then they came out and did a field visit and got some ideas. And then they went back to the classroom and they had seven groups, and they all made a presentation to us with their ideas. And they were, every presentation had different ideas. So it was great. And we pulled about one idea from each presentation and implemented it, slowly through the course of the month of April. And we're still actually working on some things, but they just did a great job.
That's amazing. Kind of just taking the best idea out of every presentation to make the best layout available. But as you said, as soon as you make room, it gets filled up. So how much stuff you guys have down there right now? Someone was looking.
Oh, we have lots of furniture, couches and chairs, and lots of great dining room tables. Some cabinets have come in. We're starting to get some great lawn and yard equipment, actually.
It's that time of year.
I always laughed. We'll get lots of heaters in and snowblowers this time of year.
Get ready for next winter. As of this winter, we have lots of air conditioners.
Your microphone just went out on us. Amber, you mind sharing your mic real quick? There we go. I apologize for that.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Now, you were saying snowblowers and things like that. Now is the time to jump into the ReStore and get those things bought.
Every time's the time to jump into the ReStore. You know, I always say you can come in the morning, and if you don't see it, come back in the afternoon because it'll be a different store.
Now, what about building materials? If someone's looking to make a shed or something like that, you guys have a lot of that, or has that become like gold?
Well, you know, we don't have anything to build a full building, but just little projects here and there. We might have that piece of plywood that you might need, just little things. And then, you know, we do get a lot of tile in, you know, a lot of sinks and toilets and stuff like that. And flooring, we get some flooring in that might be good for a small project.
You know, I was just going to ask you, but you said it first. On a more personal note, the sinks. You guys have a lot of kitchen sinks, because the wife says if there was one thing, it'd be the kitchen sink. So you got any of those?
Yeah, we usually have kitchen sinks in the inventory. It seems like they come in quite a bit, so we usually have some of those around.
Well, there we go. I no longer have an excuse, folks. I got to go down and get myself a kitchen sink. Now, you have a couple of builds coming up. The Faith build is a big build every year. This is kind of one of those nationwide builds from Habitat for Humanity. When is that?
Yeah, our Faith build, and we're kind of building it back up again. It's June 6th, 7th, and 8th. And that's local churches their congregations will form a team and come out and build for a half a day, and then we'll have another team come out. We have a little prayer before we build and do some fellowship afterwards. And this year we're trying to raise $6,000, and we already have a match for half of that, so we're halfway there.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Now, is registration for this closed?
No, and actually, it's gonna we're just gonna start opening it and getting it going this week. So the some of the information's out there, but it's gonna be polished up here by this week, and that's when we'll start really promoting it and getting the team set up.
Now, Dan, in years past, is this traditionally one of the bigger builds that people jump on? Is this where you end up having quite a few people jump on?
Yeah, this is a lot of affiliates. This is just huge for them, and some of them are 2 weeks long, and we're just kind of building ours back up to get it to where it's going to be a week long event, maybe twice a year event. As we're building our capacity, we're gonna be building up our volunteer base and builds like this.
Now, what's the reasoning behind having to build it back up? Was this put on hiatus and we're trying to restart the engine?
Well, you know, same old story. I think it kind of felt, everything kind of fell apart during COVID as far as builds and stuff. And so we have to kind of recover from that. And that's what we're doing.
So if folks do want to register, I imagine they just contact you, shoot you an email, give you a call.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan@SheridanHabitat.org, or they'll be able to get on our website and see some more information. And then we'll be doing presentations on Sundays to a lot of the churches.
Now, I know this is pretty far off, but is Mrs. Dietrich looking forward to the Wolf Creek Wrangle? Is that already, has she already started getting those wheels?
The turned? Wolf Creek Wrangle registration is open.
Oh, wow.
For the...
Wow.
Third Saturday in September. Yeah, the registration's open, and you can get on the Run Wolf Creek Run website, or you can get there from our website. But we've even had some people sign up. Actually, Christine told me, I think they were from, one was from South Carolina and one was somewhere else back east. So we've got people coming from around the country to this race.
Traditionally, in years past, a lot of folks take part in this run. I do know it's one of the only opportunities to get out there on that ranch for people to actually see that area out there. And I heard it's nothing but beautiful, but the run itself isn't exactly an easy trail run, is it? I mean, this actually comes with some challenge.
Yeah. Like Christine says, it's a trail run and the trails aren't necessarily groomed. You know, they're designed for horses and cattle and elk and all that, but they're marked really well, and we've got lots of folks out there, the search and rescue partners with us. So we have lots of folks out there keeping an eye on everybody, and we always send out, you know, if we send out 100 people, we always have 100 people come back.
Why? Yeah, haven't lost anybody yet, right?
Not yet.
But I will say, you know, a lot of times I've noticed that if you make it a little challenging, you really get a lot of fish on that hook, because people absolutely love to challenge themselves, especially those athletes who like to do the trail runs, those individuals who like to do those big bike races. I mean, you got to throw some challenge in there. Nobody wants to come out and just kind of leisurely take their time out there. So that's one thing that I've always kind of appreciated about that. Now, moving on, we're going to get over here to our AmeriCorps team. Now, I'm going to start with you, Amber, and just real quick, I would like to know a little bit of your background. Where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah. What is it about AmeriCorps that you were like, you know what, I'm gonna throw my chips into that?
All right. Well, again, I'm from North Carolina, coming straight out of high school, 19. I really haven't been much out of North Carolina, so... I mean, I just heard about it. It's a great opportunity to travel. So I've seen a lot more states that I just don't think I'd have ever been to before.
Where have you been so far?
So far we've been, well, we're based out of Aurora, Colorado, which is great because in between projects, we get to go see the beautiful mountains and do our trainings there. We went to El Paso, Texas for our first project. And then we went to Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And then we went to Columbia, Missouri. And now we're here.
El Paso, Texas. What did you think, Texas?
Oh, my gosh. El Paso was my favorite project yet. The people were amazing. The food was amazing. The work was amazing. We could have stayed there for the whole 10 months and I'd have been happy. But everywhere we've been has been beautiful. This is definitely the most beautiful place we've been so far.
How long have you guys been here in town?
Oh, just about a week. Yeah.
About a week. Mm-hmm. And what have you gotten to do so far?
Well, today, I think a lot of our team is going hiking. I'm not sure, the Red Trails or something like that.
Yeah.
And
Red Grade Trail.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see some stuff about that. We've been at the Y. A lot of our team's trying to get real strong because they want to do some big hikes coming up. But mostly just kind of exploring the area. I know some people are going antique shopping today as well.
Absolutely. So do you feel that joining AmeriCorps was an opportunity that you would recommend to anybody who's out there listening? Maybe they haven't made that decision as of yet, what they want to do. And so they're kind of looking for something to consume their time, maybe get a little adventure under their belt.
I mean, it definitely depends on the person, but I would say if you're someone who's looking for some direction, looking to make an impact on people, and if you're okay with a little bit of change and flexibility and you want to explore, and it really does have a big adventure aspect, this is definitely a great program for you. I mean, I had no clue what I wanted to do for college, which was, again, another reason, I wanted to get into this, so yeah. I kind of had some direction. And now I've decided my major is going to be nursing, and I think that a lot of people who join it are straight out of high school, just looking for some thing to show them what path to take and where to go in their life.
So you want to be a nurse?
Yeah, I mean, after being in El Paso, it kind of just showed me there's so many communities that just need a little bit of extra support, and having an impactful career is something that I'm now very passionate about. I think I wouldn't feel fulfilled without being able to make that impact. And I think that that's probably one of the best ways of going about it.
So making that kind of impact, was that something that you sought out to do with AmeriCorps, or did that kind of come along with the program?
I mean, half and half. When I joined, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a college scholarship out of this. They give you some money for college if you finish it. I'm going to travel, I'm going to be living with 10 strangers, making some new friends, and I'm going to be doing some good stuff. But I guess I didn't realize how important that, like, good stuff would be to me, because it really is, like, you're seeing how you're changing people's lives every day you go into work.
Yeah. So. And is that kind of almost like an energy?
It really is, yeah. I think, I mean, in El Paso, a lot of the days we were there, we were packing raw chicken, which was a tough job for a lot of people.
Probably something you've never ever done before.
Not something we were thinking was going to happen. And that was just the first half of the day. But then you're packing chicken in this white room with, like, no windows for, like, 4 hours, and it's kind of gross. But then at the end of the day, you go out on the line, and you're handing it out to these families who that's going to be their main source of protein for, like, their meals. And they're so grateful. They're saying thank you. They're, like, just saying all these kind things, biggest smiles on their faces. And it just feels really good to know that, like, you've been a big part of them being able to have a sustainable, healthy meal.
Yeah, yeah. So as you go through life from this point on, you know, you look back on these days. Do you think that will affect how you participate within your own community once you find a place that you want to settle?
Definitely. I mean, I've already been looking into different volunteering opportunities that are right near my college.
Yeah.
Just even from our last project, we were working on a farm, and one of the guys there had a connection to one of the guys in North Carolina that has a, like, community farm that does, like, donations to food banks and stuff. And he's already kind of setting me up with them, so that way I can continue to feel like I'm helping people in my own community as well.
Yeah. You know, I got to take a quick commercial break.
All right.
But before I go, I got one question I'm going to end up asking both of you. What is the biggest lesson you've learned so far?
Geez, I feel like I've mostly touched on, I feel like the biggest lesson I've learned is just how important it is to me to feel like I'm making an impact on the community that I'm in, regardless of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Just being able to kind of help leave things better than I found them and support in any ways that I can.
Yeah. You know, I think that's something in all of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and every once in a while, I think people find that and suddenly realize that's human spirit right there.
Definitely, yeah.
All right. On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We will have more with Habitat for Humanity and AmeriCorps when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
Pella windows are made for extremes. From blazing hot summers to freezing cold winters, with energy efficiency options to keep you comfortable and save you money year-round, and now enjoy extreme savings at Pella of Wyoming.
Get 20% off qualifying Pella projects or 0% APR for 36 months. Offer ends 5/31/2024. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Pella is ready for extremes. Make sure your home is too. Learn more at PellaSheridan.com.
You hear that? Why, that's the sound of your lawn not getting mowed right. Those blades are out of kilter, and that carb is set to choke instead of yodel. You have to add air to your mower tires every time you use it? Well, that's not good for the environment. Using up all that air causing global warming? Hendel Service Center can take the hickey up out of your giddy up and have that mower running smoother than Tennessee whiskey. Hendel Service Center, located on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Join the United States Air Force Band, Airmen of Note, from the nation's capital to Sheridan, Wyoming, as they perform a free spring concert, 3 o'clock, Sunday, May 5th, at the Junior High Early Auditorium. Tickets are free of charge. Get yours online today. For more information and to register, go to usairforceband.com. The United States Air Force Band, Airmen of Note, Sunday, May 5th, 3 p.m. at the Sheridan Junior High Early Auditorium. This event is sponsored in part by your friends at Sheridan Media. Airmen of Note at the Junior High Early Auditorium. For tickets, go to usairforceband.com.
Whether you're planting a tree or digging a foundation, contact One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Call 2 business days before you dig. It's free and required by law. Repairs to utilities can be expensive. Cutting a gas line or electrical line can be deadly. No matter if it's weekend yard work or major construction, call One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Sponsored by Public Service Commission, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and we're brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. This morning, I'm speaking with Habitat for Humanity Resource and Development Manager Dan Alsop and AmeriCorps Fire Team members Amber Hay and Sarah Griggs. Now, before I went to the commercial, I kind of threw Amber under the bus and asked a couple pretty tough questions when it came to lessons learned and where she was from. Sarah, you during the break, we were talking about urban and rural environments. You're from a rural community.
Yeah, I'm from rural North Carolina, also North Carolina, just western part of it.
Now, were you two friends originally, or you guys met each other through AmeriCorps?
So, no, we were not friends. We didn't know each other, but we actually did get the opportunity to meet each other before we went into AmeriCorps. And then it just happened that we got on the same team. I did ask and request that we could be on the same team, got an email back saying they don't really do that. They kind of want to, you know, just broaden each team, like, as best they can.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think within our first couple weeks working in Denver, some teams got switched around, and then we ended up together. So, yeah.
So, being said, you're both from the same state. Is this kind of like a shared experience going to all these other areas together and seeing, you know, one thing about Europe isn't that big, really. You know, you can experience 10 different cultures in a week. Do you kind of feel that way about the United States and each specific state as well? There's different cultures. There's little things that are so different.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. When we went into Texas, I think that was the biggest culture shock I've had so far. Just all of the just different kinds of people that we were meeting. And then when we were in Tahlequah, we were part of the Cherokee Nation. Again,
oh, wow.
Big
wow.
Culture shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, North Carolina has, Cherokee, North Carolina is just like an hour down the road from where I'm from, but I'd never been directly in the heart of Cherokee Nation before.
Yeah.
So that was, again, big culture shock. And coming up here, I mean, it's very similar to my hometown in a way, but I know that like it's a lot different. People are very welcoming. Not that people aren't welcoming from my town, but it's a different kind of welcoming, I feel like, than yeah. East Coast welcoming.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of folks might not know that, you know, if they haven't traveled back east. That's one thing that I actually learned when I was in the service. There is slight differences just in the way that people present themselves, even.
Yes.
That are seen as absolute traditional, this is who we are type of deals, you know, as compared to the West.
Yeah.
Because I've been pretty far west growing up in parts of Oregon and Idaho even and Wyoming and Utah. So I know this general area pretty well. So, boy, you get to know, you know, mountain people.
Yeah.
Kind of what I call us, you know, Rocky Mountain types of individuals. You go to someplace like Kansas, life is different when you're a flatlander, you know.
Yep.
Things are seen a little bit different. So what prompted you to make the jump to join the AmeriCorps team originally?
Yeah, so I was a freshman college student last year at North Carolina State University. I think about halfway through my second semester, I realized I had no idea what I was doing. And I really just wanted to discover my passions and just to kind of grow professionally and like personally. So I started looking into some programs. Originally looked in Peace Corps, but Peace Corps is a 2-year program. And I just was not ready for that. As
big commitment.
Yeah. I was like 18 looking for these programs. And I was like, no, Peace Corps, it's a little scary. And so one of my cousins actually back in COVID had applied to AmeriCorps. And he didn't go, but he was talking to me and he was like, I understand that you kind of want to take a gap year and you don't want to like stay at home, look into this program. And as soon as I did, I was like, this is perfect. It's a 10-month program. It starts right in October and then we end right before I would have to go back to college. Now in that time, I've discovered that it's been a little bit more important to me to continue my service work. So I will be doing like part-time school while I work with Cherokee Nation still. And so in this program I've discovered my passions and I've gained like the discipline I was looking for, and it's been really, really helpful for me.
Wow. So both of you kind of discovered the spirit of service is, yes, what I'm going to call it. And I think that's absolutely amazing. Because this is essentially change your direction in life from here on.
Yeah.
You're going to go home, get back into school, but at the same time, this volunteer service means so much to you that you want to continue that.
Yeah, I'm planning on moving back to Oklahoma, where our last project was.
Yeah.
And they have some pretty important work that needs to get done. So I am... have applied to some jobs out there and hope that I can just help the community there because they're in need.
Did you think that it was going to have this kind of profound impact on you before you jumped in?
No, absolutely not. I was like, I'm going to go in, do my service, going to come back out and go back to school.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. And now I was a marketing major last year and now I'm like, no, not as important of a thing that I feel like I need to be doing. And so veering more towards social work and nonprofit work, because there's a lot of people that are in need and a lot of kids, unfortunately, that are in need.
Yeah. Yeah. When you see those little faces, boy, they stay with you, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Now, if someone is listening out there and they're kind of looking for a direction themselves, what would you tell them?
I would honestly say, like, look into this program. And even if you don't want to make a 10-month commitment, get into volunteer nonprofit work if you can. It will point you in a variety of directions. Because we were working in El Paso. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to work with animals and help, like, animal shelters do that. And then as soon as we got to Oklahoma, I realized that youth development was what was most important to me. And so, I mean, yes, you can do all kinds of volunteer work, but this program definitely has given me the opportunity to do so many different kinds. So I know, like, which direction is best for me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've discovered some places around this town that we're going to try to volunteer with. And so it really does not matter where you're from. There is going to be volunteer work that's needed in your town. So just get into that, I would say. It'll help a lot with what you think you want to do.
It's amazing how much you get when you give.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's that kind of burning sensation in your chest when you see it and the work that you've done. And there's a fantastic, and this is going to seem somewhat selfish, but bear with me on this because I've got a feeling you've experienced it as well. There's a fantastic feeling of job satisfaction when you see the smile on those little faces and knowing that you had some kind of impact, whether that even if that's just handing chicken out to families. I mean, that impact is something that sticks with you. And you end up chasing that, right?
Yeah. In El Paso, we worked with a very large homeless community. And that, I don't think I've felt that big of an impact since we've been in El Paso, which is like, I'm kind of chasing, like you said, trying to figure out how to do that. So, I mean, part of my want when I move to Oklahoma is to be able to open up a homeless shelter for that community because they do not have one. And I think it's very important. And it helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so, although all of the work we've done has been so, so important, I need to go back and like be able to do like work with shelterless people.
Yeah.
And just be able to try to fix some of the community that's a little bit broken.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't ever get to experience that. Either they're never given the opportunity or maybe they're chasing something else. But that feeling that you get when you help someone, again, I think that's the service spirit. And I think we all have it. And it's amazing to see it ignited in you two young ladies going forward. This experience has changed your lives profoundly.
Yeah.
Now, you're not just volunteering with Habitat for Humanity while you guys are here. You're actually going to be helping out the YMCA as well. Have they kind of given you a heads up on what you're going to be doing out there? Or are you just going to show up with empty hands, say, we're ready to go?
Well, we know some of what we're going to be doing. I think we're getting prepared for, there's the YMCA camp coming up this summer. So we're helping them prepare for all those kids that are going to be coming in.
There's a lot of work there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I don't know the specifics. Amber, do you know any?
No, kind of how it works is a community will reach out with their needs, and they'll make like almost like an application with every possible thing that we might be doing. It could be just like a huge list of stuff that we'll never do and stuff we'll like only do and stuff like that. And that way we kind of just are not going in and telling people what they need and fixing problems that they're not trying to prioritize being fixed. And so we'll show up and they'll have a couple of things for us to do and we're just going to do whatever they need us to. So it's probably going to be a lot of clearing out land and preparing for the camp, like Sarah said.
Yeah.
So things like that.
And what are you doing with Habitat? You guys going out there actually getting hammers in hand, pounding in some nails?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of siding this past week on the twin home that we're working on. And so we're going to continue that this upcoming week. And then we're going to start some work on the house right next door. But yeah, lots of nail guns, lots of saw cutting. But it's been a good time.
Have you ever done any kind of work like that previously?
Yeah, we did work briefly for Habitat when we were working in Missouri. And Amber actually has some experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I worked at a rebuilding together for like a year. Just like Habitat, but more home repair for people in need.
Yeah.
And also, we do, within AmeriCorps, there's different team roles that you have to keep everyone busy and helping the team function. And my role was independent service project coordinator. So within AmeriCorps, you do your 10 months of service, and then you do 80 hours of independent service, which I think our team has found to be probably the most fun because we get into the community and we'll outreach and we'll find places that need help. And we did a lot of volunteering with Habitat for Humanity
in Tahlequah. Yeah.
So we did some work out there. We've got to work with animal shelters. We've got to work with different like homeless shelters and things like that. So we get a little bit of experience everywhere, even if the project is like something we've done before.
That's amazing. Yep. Now, Sarah, if someone, and I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. If someone is like, you know what, that's it. That's what I need. I need 10 months of service. So what do they need to do to join your a team like yours?
Yeah. So if you go to our website, it's AmeriCorps.gov. And for those who don't know how to spell AmeriCorps, it is AmeriCorps.
Okay.
.gov. And then there's a drop down box where you can click serve, and there's going to be different kinds of like subgroups within it. So we're AmeriCorps. There's AmeriCorps Senior and there's Volunteer. So you can, like, they have two big volunteer days throughout the year. One is on September 11th, and then one is MLK Day, where you can just do like one day of serving with AmeriCorps. AmeriCorps Senior focuses more, I think, within the community you're already in. So they'll, like, say you went online, put in Sheridan, it would probably direct you towards, I think it's my understanding that Habitat has like a senior day. So it would be like, hey, there is more senior directed programs that you can do. And then within AmeriCorps, we have like FEMA, we have traditional, we have summer of service and Forest Corps. We are traditional. We're the 10-month traditional program. And so if you wanted to do traditional, you could just click AmeriCorps traditional and it'll show you all of the like benefits you get. It'll show you how to apply. It'll show you the regions, because there's four different regions across America that you could be a part of. And I think when I applied, I was only able to apply for Southwest region and the Pacific region. Pacific region is in California, and the Southwest is based out of Denver, as we said.
I'm running out of time real quick, but I really do appreciate you pointing people in that right direction. Dan, I wanted to ask you real fast before we go, if someone wanted to volunteer, jump on Habitat for Humanity, or maybe add another hammer for one day. You got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Just send an email to Habitat, either the General Habitat or me, Dan at SheridanHabitat.org, or give us a call. Go to the website and just give us a call, and we'll find an opportunity for you.
Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. You guys really stepped up, and you know what? We ended up not having enough time as it was. How amazing is that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, thank you, my friend. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
Good health. Everybody wants it. Not everybody's got it, but the Health Nut has it. An entire health food grocery store and gift shop. Organic salad bar, soup, sandwich, and smoothies counter to sit and have the most healthy lunch in town. An aisle after aisle of health-giving supplements. You want it. The Health Nut's got it. And everything else you need for a healthy life. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall.
This is Ken here at Prime Rate Motors. We understand everybody's situation is different. We have helped people get into the car they need by numerous ways. You may need to downtrade for lower payments. You may wish to trade in more than one car. Prime Rate Motors will accept trade-ins on trailers, tractors, campers, even four-wheelers. So let us help you get into a premium pre-owned vehicle that is exactly what you want and need. Here at Prime Rate Motors and Super Trailer Store on Sheridan's Coffeen Avenue or PrimeRateMotors.com.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit eFirstFederal.bank.
Hello, Sheridan. This is Brooke with Sheridan County Predator Management District. Sheridan County has seen record numbers of rabies cases the past couple of years, and this year has a similar potential. If you or a family member see an animal that is acting sick or unusual, please do not approach that animal. Report to the district's rabies handler, Paul Herman, for extraction and testing at 307-751-1412.
Sheridan County is home to some of the most beautiful scenery in Wyoming. Rolling hills, the majestic Bighorn Mountains, clean streams, fields painted with vibrant colors. Hi, Bob Grammons here. We at Sheridan Media are excited to once again welcome back spring. And it also means it's time to step up and pitch in and help enhance our county's natural beauty by participating in the annual Trees for Trash program. It's Saturday, May 4th. Just bring your spring cleanup trash to the city landfill on East Ridge Road between 9 a.m. and 2 o'clock. Drop it off. Receive a free Colorado blue spruce seedling. It's great for the communities of Sheridan County, and it's free. And a big thank you goes out to our fantastic Trees for Trash sponsors, ERA Carroll Realty, U.S. Bank, Wyoming Corporate Office, Landon's Greenhouse and Nursery, Sheridan County, and, of course, the city of Sheridan. So mark your calendar. Saturday, May 4th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for Trees for Trash.